kudos to you, Hale and Harvey folks who have preserved to the end. I have to ditto Amanda's response that we're sure glad you're here. But to begin, I'd like to give you a brief overview of disease investigation as it's performed in Kansas, as well as the law related to immunization exemptions. Kansas is a decentralized state, meaning that the counties have control of disease investigation within their boundaries, and they also enforce the Kansas isolation quarantine laws. The state health department can only make recommendations. The state of Kansas is divided into 105 counties. Each county health department does have a health officer, and in the smaller counties, the health department administrator does assume the duties of the health officer, and where this occurs, medical consultants are utilized. Kansas law does require physicians, laboratories, schools, hospitals, among others, to report suspect or confirmed cases of contagious diseases. Our immunization law does allow for two exemptions, medical and religious. The medical exemption has to be renewed every year. However, the religious exemption does not. Once a religious exemption is declared, it's forever. It is fairly loose in that a pastor does not have to sign the form, nor does the denomination with objections to vaccination have to be listed. So we feel that parents do use this religious objection for philosophical and even personal reasons, because when there is an outbreak and they are told that their child will be excluded for several weeks, they lose their religion very quickly. The local health department investigators do have a resource tool, disease investigation guidelines that were prepared for the KDHE to guide the investigation. These DIGs, as we commonly refer to them, also contain a rapid assessment form, which is only one page, for gathering the information necessary for the investigation. You know, nothing seems easy during disease investigations, and this outbreak was no exception, because the majority of our cases were found through laboratory reporting, not from the physician, not from the hospital. And the only name on the laboratory, the name of the patient was on the laboratory report, the date of birth, and the last name of the physician. So after we found out the first name of the physician and where the physician was, a call had to be made to the physician office to gather information necessary to complete or to start the investigation. When the physician office was contacted, many times there was very little clinical information about the symptoms, very little about vaccination status, and sometimes the demographics were even incorrect. The school where these children attend was able to provide some demographic information in most cases. However, vaccination status was not always available, and this led to some difficulty in the identification of susceptible contacts. So in setting the stage, the KDHE, through passive surveillance, recognized this outbreak in June of 09. It is in a religious community in the northeast portion of the state. The community is distrustful of government, in addition to having objection to vaccinations. And the children attend one school, which has a kindergarten through college. And this school also accepts boarding students from other states and other countries. The outbreak was concentrated in Pottawatomie County, but it also involved cases in surrounding counties of Jackson, Waubonsie, and Shawnee. And just as a side note here, Topeka, the state capital of Kansas, is located in Shawnee County. Oops. It's not moving. We did have 94 patients who met the case definition for suspect, probable, or confirmed cases of pertussis, and we did use the CDC CSTE definition. As you see, the median age was 9, which is school age, but we did have cases as young as 1 month and as old as 83 years. The one death occurred in an 82-year-old who we found out through the positive lab, PCR. So when the health department followed up, they found out that her funeral had already occurred. And the physician, after reviewing the physician notes, the physician had written that the presumptive cause of death was either an acute myocardial infarction or a pulmonary embolus, and no autopsy was performed. As you can see, 40% of the cases did occur in the school. The 48% of other category were infants, adults, and those that we couldn't account for. Now, it says here that 47% had a vaccination history, but that in no means that they had the full series of DTP. 47% had at least one dose of DTP or Tdap. 54% of our cases were confirmed by PCR. We were never able to obtain a culture. But we did know one thing. The commercial lab that performed the majority of the tests automatically checks for parapertussis. So we did know that we were not dealing with parapertussis. From the graph, you can see that the first case did occur in June of 2009, and transmission continued to the surrounding counties over several months. The peak occurred during October, and cases were continuing to be reported in 2010. Majority of the cases occurred in the elementary grades there at the school, and a review of the vaccination records revealed that 75% of kindergarten students, 50% of first grade students had religious exemptions. The upper grades had fewer exemptions, only 10%. Best practice information and education for disease containment began in July prior to the school year starting. The local health department staff met with the school liaison to advise him, number one, of the outbreak, and to stress the importance of disease containment activities within that school environment. So he was introduced to the disease containment activities. He was also given educational materials to post in the halls and in the bathrooms of the school. You know, cover your cough, wash your hands frequently. And he was also given fact sheets on pertussis to give to the teachers. And the teachers were asked to report coughing illnesses to the liaison, who would then follow up. This was the plan. He was given a surveillance log, and he was shown how to use it to track the coughing students and to show their vaccination status and the exclusion of the contacts. Now, the school did allow a representative from the local health department and from KDHE to come into the school to assess the vaccination statuses of the students kindergarten through 12th grade. However, this invitation was not extended to us until we were well into the outbreak, which was in October when we got to go. Best practices for community awareness activities included blast faxes to the medical community on two different occasions. And these blast faxes had information to alert the medical providers that there was indeed an outbreak in the community, and to encourage the providers to consider pertussis when they were examining patients with cough illness. The best practices for testing the culture was recommended. Treatment, prophylaxis, prevention, including the accelerated schedule for infants, clinical symptoms, and disease reporting requirements were also addressed. The second fax was co-signed by the medical consultants of the counties who were dealing with the pertussis, and also by the director of the state health department. Grand rounds with the local physicians was conducted by the health department medical consultant, and health department representatives actually went out into the practices to answer questions and to provide information on best practices for testing the culture and also for the prevention. Press releases were issued to the local newspaper, daycare providers in the area, hospitals, and other schools were also notified of the outbreak and asked to report coughing students. Several challenges surfaced during this investigation, and some were unexpected. Limited staff resources at the local health department and the school affected case confirmation and exclusion of students. The local health department had several vacant positions which they were unable to fill because of budgetary restraints. So, in effect, the staff was doing double duty. So a part-time nurse was assigned to be the lead in this investigation. And the school liaison served in multiple roles there in the school, including being the house parent to the boys who lived on campus, who were boarding students. Now, because of the size of the families, finances for some were limited. And this led to late treatment and prophylaxis in some cases. Community agencies do exist in this community to address these sorts of issues. However, financial information has to be provided in order for funds to be released. This community is mistrustful of government, and the families would not give the agencies their financial situation. And in spite of efforts in communicating best practices, physicians continued to use PCR testing, cough illnesses were not reported, and vaccination efforts remained unchanged. That is, if a parent did not request a vaccine, it wasn't given. A physician in the group who saw most of these families is a member of this religious community and has strict religious beliefs concerning vaccination. The confirmation of cases proved to be frustrating. I don't know if any of you all are dealing with this. I would be interested to find out to see how you handle prepaid phones where they only accept certain numbers. So some of the initial contacts were not successful. After those that were able to be called, after the initial interview, many times the cough duration had not gotten to 14 days, thus necessitating an extra call. When the call was made, the phone was not answered, a message was left, and there was no response. Letters to these folks brought no response. Home visits were not could not be done because of the lack of staff and added to the H1N1 activities in that area. The school, because of the magnitude of this outbreak and the multiple roles that this school liaison had, some of the students with pertussis were not excluded, and susceptible contacts, those without a vaccination history, were not excluded. So, hindsight is always and will be always 100%. So, would we do anything different? You betcha. Staff performing these investigations were all female. Perhaps if a male authority figure from the county, from the state, had been more involved in this male-centric community, things would have been different. So we sat down with the local health department administrator, who is a woman, to talk about, all right, let's see how we're going to do these things differently. She decided that she was going to involve the male commissioner in delivering communication, strategic information and communication to the leaders of this church, as well as to the school. She said that she would accept help from the Kansas Department of Health and Environment in providing a male disease investigation specialist, not only to conduct some of the interviews, but also to coach the nurses who would be doing the investigation in successful techniques in obtaining information from those who have a mistrust of government or hesitant to provide information. We also decided that the State Health Department medical director perhaps should get more involved in the education of the medical community there. I sensed some frustration from the health department with this group of physicians from previous encounters that they had with them. But the health department administrator said that she really wanted to work more closely with this physician group in the hopes of having an ally in the group to provide more educational information for the patients to be aware of and to look at as they're waiting to be seen to the doctor. I'm not sure that fundamental beliefs can ever be changed, but perhaps if people are educated, they can ask for the vaccine that they are entitled to receive. In conclusion, I would like to respectfully request that the CDC scientists work diligently to develop an accurate, rapid test that can be performed in the physician office and the results be available before the patient goes home. And I would also like to recommend that the CDC look at the pertussis outbreak manual to consider updating the culture, because sometimes these cultures to confirm an outbreak will not happen, and disease containment activities recommended by the CDC are impossible. Thank you for your attention, and I'm glad you're here.